Chapter 1. Sunday, the 21st of March, 1557. After enduring a lengthy and troublesome sojourn in the wild and dangerous west of the kingdom, living amongst tin miners, peasants, and felons of the worst sort, it had been a relief to return to civilization the previous year. I need only say that it was a matter of considerable satisfaction to find myself once more inside the protective cocoon of London's walls. Never again, I swore, would I wander so far west. The peasants there were the most unappealing, grim, violent hardheads I have ever met, while the merchants made London's thieving mercenaries look like paragons of virtue by comparison. Not that I could return to my old home. There were two problems there, Pudge and Saul. Saul Appleby was troublesome, for I had developed a rather close acquaintanceship with the delightful Susan, his wife. Saul was a niggardly, sour old fellow in his middle years, with less life in him than a candlestick. She was a buxom hussy of near 30, with the sort of wandering eye that makes a man feel his codpiece could do with enlargement. All was well, but after one of our assignations was broken up by his returning home early, necessitating a swift exit on my part, it was clear that our ability to meet for a little mattress walloping would be considerably facilitated were we to have a little distance between our homes. We did not wish our pleasant exercises to be interrupted by her husband, and it wasn't possible to send all the servants away whenever he was gone from home. Then again, there were other incentives for removing to a new home, such as the repellent Pudge. He was one of those fellows who considered that he should have access to my purse and, ideally, my interior organs. He knew where I lived, and I was keen to make his interview with me as difficult as possible, especially since Pudge, this foul tavern keeper, seemed to believe he had the right to take all my money in exchange for a small party other people had organised in my house. I had, of course, tried to explain to the bovine brogger that it was not me whom he sought. Others had fooled him into providing the ale and wine for the party, but Pudge was not of a mind to allow bygones to be bygones, and even now I heard he was seeking my new accommodation, and ideally my neck. So I had moved from my old address to the parish of St. Helens. It was only a short walk from my old haunts, which had the advantage of proximity to Susan while being far enough to confuse Saul and the more foolish dolts seeking my money. However, there was one large and unavoidable distraction in my new parish. His name was Peter. Father Peter. I was early into Mass that first day, grumpy with a grumbling belly. I dislike Lent, and this was the third week. Kicking my lazy and shiftless servant Rafe from his cot, I dressed in my finest with black doublet and hose, both decorated with fine silver threads, to give a subtle ostentation to my appearance. The cloak, to set it all off, was lined and embroidered with black silk matching my cap. All in all, I looked the picture of a successful, wealthy merchant, which was distinctly preferable to exhibiting my actual career as an assassin. People tend to grow anxious around men of my profession, or so I imagine. I've never taken the risk of informing them. It was not to impress the women that I dressed so carefully, but to reassure the good priest, Father Peter. This was my first appearance in his church since I had arrived in the parish, and I believe it is important to make a good impression. That was even more vital at that time, with the disputes between the different styles of religious observance.